Luke chapter 11, and we're going to begin reading in verse 5. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Because of his importunity. What does that word importunity mean? It means persistence. Because of his persistence, he'll get up and give him whatever he needs. Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I'm going to talk to us tonight about the power of persistence. Power of persistence. Amen. There's power in persistence. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. And I pray that you talk to us here tonight. Help us to catch hold of this, Lord. Help us to apply it in our life. And I pray that you'd help us to step in to the purpose that you have for us, Lord, to be persistent about it. We're not giving up. Lord, we're not giving up. We're trusting in you. We're moving forward. We're taking hold of the things that you have for us in the Spirit. And we give you the praise and the glory right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We stand on your promises right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we claim what you have for this church. We claim what you have for our families. We claim what you have for this city. We're not letting go, Lord, but we're pressing forward with faith and taking hold of it right now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you just lift your hands and just rejoice for what God's doing and how he's moving? Thank you, Lord, for the moving of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, God, for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for the family of God and how you're moving and how you're working through your church, Lord. Let your will be done in us, I pray. Lord, move in this city, Lord. I believe you have much souls in this city. I believe there are much souls in this city, Lord. There are those who are hungry. There are those who are desperate. I pray that you will lead us, Lord. I pray that your blessing be upon our efforts, Lord. Lead us to the right people, God. Let your angels go before us and prepare their hearts. We give you praise for it, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. God bless you. Please be seated tonight. When it comes to the things of God, we often give up way too easily. This world celebrates athletes who refuse to quit. We honor those students that just don't give up. We admire business people who keep on trying. But when it comes to prayer, many people pray 1 or 2 times, and if they don't get immediate results, they just assume, well, it must not be God's will. And they give up. But Jesus tells this story about a man knocking on his neighbor's door at midnight. That was not a convenient time to get up and answer the door. His neighbor said, I've already got the kids in bed, and I'm ready to go to sleep. Leave me alone. But the man just would not give up. And Jesus says he finally goes and answers the door. Not because of how good a friend his neighbor was, but because of his persistence. The man just wouldn't stop knocking. Why did Jesus tell a story like this? Because of the spiritual principle that's here. It's the power of persistence. Sometimes with the great things of God, it's kind of like he wants to know how bad do we want it. And for somebody here tonight who needs a big miracle, perhaps, it could very well be that what makes the difference in our life, in our situation, in our need is persistence. Persistence. Amen. I believe that somebody, you may be right there. You may be right at the edge of an open door. You may be right there close to seeing the miracle come to pass. Don't you dare give up now. Don't you turn back now. Don't quit right now. You keep on. Be persistent. You keep praying. You keep believing. You keep walking forward in faith. There's power in persistence. Persistence is faith that won't let go. Think about this with me. People, they keep knocking because they believe somebody's inside. This last weekend, we had a great time at outreach and telling people about VBS. And at some of the houses we went to, it was real obvious that nobody was there, okay? There was no lights. There was no movement. There was no dogs barking. Nothing. And so we would just leave a card and move on to the next house. But then there were some other houses where you knew somebody was home. You kind of see somebody moving around a little bit in there. You heard the dogs barking or something. And that's when you just keep on knocking. Because whether they know it or not, we have something they need. And so we're trying to reach them. And you keep knocking. In this story that Jesus told, the man, he kept on knocking because he believed somebody was on the other side of the door. He knew that there was an answer there, and he knew that somebody was on the inside and they had what he needed. If he could just get them to open the door, he believed his need would be met. And every time we pray for that miracle, what we're saying is, I still believe. I still believe there's an answer on the other side of this door. God, you're the only one that can do this, and so I'm going to keep on knocking until you open the door. Come on, every time we worship in the middle of whatever it is we're going through, we're saying, I still believe God's going to make a way somehow. God's going to provide. Every time we're down or disappointed by something or going through a struggle, but we keep on showing up at the house of God, we're saying, I still believe. I'm putting my faith and my trust in Him. Persistence is faith that just won't let go. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, Jacob, he wrestled all night with the angel of the Lord. And morning came, and he just wouldn't give up. And he was exhausted, but he was determined. His hip was out of socket, but he just kept on. He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. In that moment, Jacob, he was in a place where all he could do was to hold on to God with everything he had. He had to let go of everything else, and all he could do right then was cling to God. That's really not a bad place to be. I won't let you go until you bless me. He wouldn't let go, and his blessing came through his persistence. What would happen if we got faith like that? What if we got determined like that? What if our faith wouldn't let go of God? God, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I'm not letting you go until I get an answer to prayer. I'm not going to stop praying until we see revival. I'm not going to quit worshiping until I get a miracle. I'm not giving up on the promises of God. I've got to believe, Lord, your healing power is going to work. I'm not letting go until you bless me, Lord. If we could step into the realm of faith like that, I believe there's an answer on the other side of that door. I know somebody's on the other side, and I know they've got the answer, and I know he hears me knocking. I'm not giving up until something changes. I'm not quitting until this door opens. I'm this close, and my faith just won't let go. In 1906, the author Jack London wrote his story of a wild wolf dog named White Fang. Anybody remember reading that story? Yeah. It told the journey of this dog from life in the wild to civilization. It's kind of meant to be the companion story of Call of the Wild, which was the dog that was in civilization and went to the wild. White Fang had to fight in order to exist. And those survival instincts are what allowed him to be trained by a very cruel man as a fighting dog. He became a terror in the fighting pits, victorious over all other types of dogs, until one day he met a dog different than any others that he had faced. Cherokee the Bulldog. Cherokee didn't have the lightning speed or the graceful movements of White Fang, but his strategy was to get a hold and never let go. His powerful jaws were designed for clamping down and holding on. And once he had a grip, his stocky build made it incredibly difficult to shake him off. This was all in contrast to White Fang's hit-and-run tactics, and it proved to be his most formidable challenge. For a while, White Fang seemed to have the upper hand until Cherokee surprised him with a sudden burst of power and was able to clamp his powerful jaws onto White Fang's neck. No matter what, White Fang could not shake him off, and Cherokee held on like a vice, his grip growing tighter and tighter. Now, I'll let you go read the rest of the story. But White Fang was actually delivered that day, and he was rescued from that horrible life. Everything changed when he met a foe that was different than any other he'd ever faced, Cherokee the Bulldog, who would get a hold and never let go. What if somebody tonight would just get some bulldog faith? Some bulldog faith. Well, what if we could get a hold of some scripture, some promise in the Word of God, some kind of word that the Lord has given us somewhere along the way, and we would just never let go? Come on, what if no matter how hard the enemy tried to shake us loose, what if the more the storms tried to blow through our life, trying to convince us to quit, trying to throw us off track from what God had promised us, but what if we just keep holding on with bulldog faith? And the more it seems like the miracle will never come, we just hold tighter to the promises of God. The more the enemy fights us over our family and over our finances and over our health, the stronger our faith becomes, because we realize if the enemy's coming after us this hard, if he wants to destroy us this bad, then there must be something worth holding on to. Come on, we're going to hold on with everything we've got. We're going to have some bulldog faith. You just can't shake me loose. You can't turn me around. You can't make me quit. I'm trusting in the Word. I believe in the Word of God. I'm praying until something happens. Woo! I'm telling you, that kind of faith, it confuses the enemy. He's just hit us with everything he's got, but we're holding on even more. He threw everything against us, but we're just clinging to Jesus even more, because we know this fight is worth holding on. Bulldog faith. I'm not letting go until you bless me. How bad do you want it? Turn to somebody, ask them, how bad do you want it? Come on, somebody. Whatever it is, your healing, your deliverance, your family being saved, your financial miracle, how bad do you want it? We've got to make up our mind. I remember the first time I saw the most beautiful girl in the world. It was at church, by the way. I didn't even get to talk to her, but I couldn't pay attention to the preaching. I just knew that Denise Williams was the most interesting thing I had ever laid my eyes on. Sometime later, I was at that church again, and believe you me, I was looking for her. I asked my cousin about her. He said, I'll introduce you. I don't remember what I said. I don't remember what she said. I just know my heart was doing flip-flops, and my knees were so weak I could barely stand up. And I knew she was the one that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. Now, she doesn't even remember that, okay? What is this about the friend zone? Anybody ever got put in the friend zone? Yeah. That's where she wanted to keep me. No. How bad do you want it, you know? We got to make up our minds. We went to NAYC that year, and she was my dream girl, but she just wanted to be friends. So I did what, you know, any guy would do. I just ignored her all week. And every time we ran into her, I was with a different girl, just, you know, friends, of course. But I had my eye on her. Finally, on the last night, she casually mentioned, you know, I'll let you take me get something to eat. Yes. That's what I've been waiting for. Now, I'm telling you my side right now. Her side might be different. Truth be told, I think she just ran out of money. She just wanted to be friends. I wanted to marry her. And that went on for quite a long time until something flipped. And finally she realized she was in love with her friend. But I had to stay determined. How bad do you want it? Is anybody determined here tonight? I believe that God has placed some things into our heart, in our mind. It wasn't just kind of it wasn't really just a wild dream. It wasn't just a wild thought, but it was something that God said, if you'll believe for that, I'll do it. If you'll stand for that, I'll bring it to pass. If you'll pray and you'll trust me, it may take a little while, but if you'll get determined, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to bring you through. You're going to look back and you're going to say, my, look what the Lord has done. Come on, somebody, persistence. It's going to pay off. Come on, just trust the Lord. Keep praying and believing. How bad do you want it? Persistence precedes the break. Jesus said it was midnight. You know, it's dark at midnight. It's dark and there's a long time till morning. But the midnight represents some seasons in our life when nothing seems to make sense. In the midnight season, prayers don't seem to be working. In the midnight season, our faith is being tested. In the midnight season, answers have been delayed, but the Bible is full of midnight breakthroughs. Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang praises unto God at midnight, and there was an earthquake, and the prison doors opened. It was at midnight that the death angel passed over Egypt and delivered Israel. The cry of the bridegroom came at midnight. Some of the greatest breakthroughs come in the midnight hour, when all hope seems to be lost and when things are the darkest. You've heard about the Chinese bamboo tree? They plant it, they water it, and for the first year, there's nothing. For the second year, nothing. Or the third, nothing the fourth year. Most of us would stop watering because we didn't see anything happening. But during the fifth year, it suddenly grows as much as 90 feet in a short amount of time. What happened? You see, below the surface, where you couldn't see it, underneath the ground, the root system was growing long before there was visible evidence above ground. And for all those years, that bamboo tree is just getting ready for a breakthrough. Persistence precedes the breakthrough. And I believe that the enemy wants somebody here tonight to think your prayers are not making a difference. Come on, somebody here, you are right there. The seed has been planted. You've been watering it. You've been praying. You've been counting on that promise from God. We've been waiting for so long. But right where we are today, we can't really see anything change, and we don't see a difference. Where's the breakthrough? Where's the miracle? Where's the revival? Where's the answer to prayer? Am I preaching to somebody here tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I see Brother Luke back here. For years, y'all prayed and believed and just kind of waited on the Lord and thought, well, maybe nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden, something changed, and it was the right time. Hallelujah. And here we are. Praise the Lord. Somebody keep on praying. The root system is developing right now. You can't see it on the surface, but if you'll be persistent, if you'll just be determined, if you'll just go after it with everything you've got, something's starting to shake underneath the ground. Something's starting to move. There's about to be a breakthrough. There's about to be an earthquake in your situation. He's going to take us higher. It's about to happen, but you got to be persistent. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody just celebrate a little bit about what God's about to do. Oh, come on, what are you shouting for? What are you praising for? Because it's about to come to pass. The answer's on the way. I'm still praying. I'm still believing. I'm just worshiping for what he's doing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle that's on the way. Thank you, God, for the breakthrough that's about to come to pass. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing behind the scenes. Thank you for how you're moving where I can't see it and I can't necessarily feel it, but I know you're doing a work. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, it was midnight in Jesus' story, and a man had unexpected company, and he asked his neighbor for 3 loaves of bread. He says, go away, I've already got the kids down to sleep. If you've got kids, you know what that's like. Once you get them to sleep, you don't want something to disturb them. And in that day, the whole family lived together in one room houses. There was no way to open the door and not disturb the whole house. But Luke chapter 11, verse 8, Jesus says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Persistence. Persistence. It took a lot of boldness for that man to go ask his friend so shamelessly for bread in the middle of the night, but he really had a need. He wouldn't take no for an answer. And Jesus said it wasn't because they were such great friends. It was because of his persistence that his neighbor would rise and give him whatever he needed. Could God be waiting to just see how persistent we are? Is it a one-time prayer, or do we really mean business? There's something in this for us here tonight. It's not that God is just reluctant to bless us and we've got to beg him until he changes his mind. But the persistence doesn't change God. Persistence changes us. Because that persistence, it develops a passion inside us. And we develop a heart that wants the things of God in our life. And we keep coming back to it time and time again until we can see it in the spirit. It's not there yet in the natural, but we can see it in the spirit, and we can almost taste it, and we believe it when we pray. We know it's going to come to pass, and we don't stop knocking because we know there's an answer on the other side of that door. Come on, somebody needs to just receive this. Praise the Lord. Hey, I want to tell you, I look at myself as lowly as any of you, lower than any of you would look. But there are times in a service like this where the Holy Ghost is moving. And I'm not just standing here as a man. And I'm not just standing here as your pastor. But the Holy Ghost is speaking to somebody and trying to encourage you that don't you dare give up. Don't you dare stop praying. And if somebody would hear the word of the Lord and you'd make that step of faith, I believe God's going to give you the breakthrough. It's not me, but there's a power of the Spirit right now. There's a witness in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The next verse, Luke 11:9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Those three words, ask, seek, knock, all three of them are continuous verbs. Jesus is not talking about one-time things, but something that persists. A better translation might say it like this: ask and keep on asking, and you'll receive what you're asking for. Seek and keep on seeking, and you'll receive, you'll find what you're looking for. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open unto you. If our prayers are just little wish lists that we kind of bring up every once in a while and just kind of an afterthought in prayer, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about an earnestness. He's talking about an intensity, a seriousness that makes us persistent in what we're asking for and what we're seeking for and what we're knocking for. I'm going to knock and keep on knocking. I'm going to seek and keep on seeking. I'm going to ask and keep on asking because I believe there's an answer on the other side of the door. Praise the Lord. I can't get away from feeling that somebody here tonight is in the desperation zone. The desperation zone. You're desperate because you don't have anywhere else to turn. You've got to have a miracle. You ever heard that saying, desperate times call for desperate measures? What are we going to do when we're desperate? Don't quit. Don't give up. We've got to have an answer from God. We've got to have a miracle. There's no other way out. We're in the desperation zone, but that's where some of the greatest miracles took place in the Bible. The Syrophoenician woman was desperate. Her daughter had an unclean spirit, and she came and fell at Jesus' feet. Reading in Matthew 15:23, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's driving us crazy, Lord. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Did you hear what he called me? I can't believe. Let me get on Facebook, you know. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She was not prepared to take no for an answer. In fact, she was so determined that she worshiped him before she ever got the miracle. She worshiped him when it seemed like he was discouraging her. She worshiped him when there was no reason yet to worship, but she was desperate. Hallelujah. Is anybody desperate tonight?
I've got to have an answer from the Lord. I've got to have a change in my situation. I've got to have a healing in my body. There's got to be a miracle. I don't know what else to do, but I've got to have a breakthrough. Oh, she was desperate. When somebody's okay with where they're at, it's hard to get them out of where they're at. When somebody's comfortable being bound and chained by darkness, you can try to cast out those spirits all day long. Not much is going to happen because they're comfortable. They like it. But you let them get desperate, they'll do anything. They just want to be free. Oh, I've got to repent of my sins. Oh, I've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, I've got to receive the Holy Ghost. Okay, I'm desperate. I'm desperate. Oh, I've got to live right and give up the things of the world. No problem. I'm sick of all that. I'm desperate for something that's different. That's what I'm praying for. God, send us to some desperate people. Some people that don't care what it takes, what they got to do. They just know where they're at is not where they want to stay. They're ready to come out of the world. They're ready to see the things of God. Send us to people who are desperate. Hey man, if you're desperate here tonight, I believe that you need to catch this with your spirit and you need to get some bulldog faith that says, I am going to do something a little crazy. I'm going to pray like I've never prayed before. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to keep believing that this miracle is on the way. The enemy's trying to take me out, but there's a reason, because he knows what's about to come to pass. He knows the breakthrough that's about to happen. He's trying to stop this church. We're not going to let them stop us, because we realize there's a breakthrough. We realize there's a revival. He's trying to stop some of you, but there's a reason. There's a calling on your life. Come on, we're going to get our breakthrough. We're not going to let go. We're going to believe the Lord for it. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Elijah had gone and done it. He had already stepped out in faith and told Ahab, there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now that's pretty bold to say that after 3 years of no rain. My, my, my. Somebody get ready. The rain's coming. There's a sound of abundance of rain. You've been in a drought for 3 years, but something's changing. Something's shifting in the atmosphere. The clouds are starting to gather. There's a sound of abundance of rain. It's been a dry spell. It's been a dry season, but something's changing. Come on. If somebody wants to catch that, I believe that's a promise from God for someone. But Elijah goes to the top of Mount Carmel and he kneels down and prays. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 43, he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. He said, go again 7 times. Now, this gives us the abbreviated version. Every time he's coming back, he says, there's nothing. There's still nothing. Go look again. There was nothing last time. What? There's nothing. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. 7 times. If Elijah had quit praying after 5 or 6 times, he would have missed the rain. And if you've been praying for rain, if you've been praying for rain and there's not a cloud in sight, don't stop praying. Pray again. Pray again. If you've been praying for revival in your family and the enemy's still in control, pray again. If you're believing that God's going to give you a financial breakthrough in your situation, but it hasn't come yet, pray again. If you're asking God to make a way in some impossible situation, the preacher's come to tell us tonight, pray again. That's the key. Pray again. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. But there's no clouds in sight. It hasn't rained for 3 years. Let's pray again. Let's pray again. Let's hit our knees again. Let's go to the throne again. We're not giving up. It's the power of persistence.
I can remember praying a prayer just about every day for years. We moved here, had a beautiful house in Texas. For whatever reason, it wouldn't sell. And so we rented that house, first house that we rented. Well, you don't have to hear the whole story. Anyway, the owners lost that house. We had to move to another house. They sold that house. We were desperate, couldn't find it, didn't know what we were going to do, had to move into a smaller house, move out of the city of Springfield, change schools in the middle of the school year. It was a horrible situation. But God wanted us in Nixa for whatever reason. And I remember praying and praying, God, we need a house. God, we need a miracle. We need to sell that other house. Lord, it was a dry season. I was like, Lord, what is going on? Do I just quit and give up on this? The house in Texas sold. Then we were looking in the economy. It was just crazy. Houses were selling so fast during that season, during that time. We didn't know what to do. Then we get a call from a friend of Colt, his mom, and just put the pieces together, and we got a house before it ever went on the market, and they made us an unbelievable deal. It was a miracle. It was a miracle, and God worked it all out in his time. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, you've been struggling. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that you really haven't been faithful like you should have been. Maybe you haven't been living in victory. Maybe the enemy's really been messing with you and you've made some mistakes, but I've come to tell you, if you've fallen and it feels like you can't give up, get up. That's a lie from the enemy. What's the difference in somebody who makes it living for God and somebody who doesn't? When we fall, and we all will fall, the ones who make it keep getting back up. The ones that don't, they give in to the enemy and they stay down. So it may feel tonight like you don't have the strength to get back up, but I tell you, if you'll make a start here, Jesus is going to give you strength. Keep getting back up. Pray again. Pray again. Trust in God again. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. It's time to get up again. Come on. Come back to the house of God. Make another start at this. Don't give in to sin. Keep getting back up. Keep coming. Keep coming to church. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people who've been struggling and the enemy convinces them somehow they don't need to come to church because they've made a mess of things and they're embarrassed. But if you'll keep coming to church, just keep coming to the house of the Lord. I know not everything's perfect, but don't worry about everything else. Just come to the house of the Lord and let the Lord work on you. Everything might still be a mess. You might have messed up last night, but keep coming to church and let the Spirit of God draw you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus is teaching on prayer, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up, keep praying. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith.
And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When he comes, will he find faith on the earth? Faithfulness. People who are being persistent. People who are still praying, they're still believing, they're still having faith. I know you've prayed about it before. I know you've been believing God for it, but we're going to pray again tonight. You prayed for your lost children. You prayed for your healing. You prayed for your marriage. You prayed for revival. And maybe you haven't seen the answer and the enemy's telling you to give up, but there's a witness in the Holy Ghost. We're gonna seek a little longer. We're going to knock a little longer. We're going to ask God again. Persistence is going to bring the breakthrough.